Welcome to the Good Grit Stories podcast, a weekly podcast telling stories of hope, compassion, and the perseverance of the human spirit. Brought to you by Good Grit Magazine, the character of the South. You can find out more about the podcast and the magazine at goodgritmag.com. Now on to this week's story.
Duct-taped guitar, Kent Duchesne. Words by Buddy Roberts. Read by Matt Godfrey. Kent Duchesne has been described as the last living musical connection to one of America's most influential artists. But tell him that, and he'll modestly laugh it off. There was this one time, though, back in the 90s, when a small news clipping advertised me as the grandson of Robert Johnson, the blues guitarist said. I don't recall where it appeared, if it was in Alabama or elsewhere. But it was a funny thing when a white guy with long gray hair showed up to play. Duchesne never knew Johnson. The early 20th century blues master died more than a decade before he was born. And all of Johnson's contemporaries are gone now. But Duchesne believes it's important for his legacy to be remembered. As a musician, there's hardly anything more important for me, Duchesne says. If you catch one of my shows, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I play a lot of his music and talk about him a lot when I'm on stage. It's like how if you don't know who Chuck Berry is, you don't understand rock and roll. To understand the blues, you have to know who Robert Johnson was. The word legendary may be overused when employed in reference to historical figures, but it's fitting in Johnson's case. The Delta blues man died at age 27 in 1938. And much of his life remains undocumented and subject to folklore, such as the story that he sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads near Dockery, Mississippi, in exchange for the guitar skills and singing and songwriting talent that influenced such musicians as Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, the Rolling Stones, and John Mayer, and continues to be appreciated almost a century after his death. Duchesne first heard Johnson's music during the mid-1960s, not long after he'd finished high school, and was playing bars in Minneapolis for $10 a night. We were psychedelic musicians, probably about 66 or 67, and bands like Cream came out with albums with Robert Johnson's name in their liner notes, so we were curious as to who he was, he said. We made a trip to the library to find out, and one of the first blues albums I got my hands on was Robert Johnson, King of the Delta Blues Singers. The album, a 1961 compilation of recordings Johnson made during the 2 years before he died, is a blues masterpiece. It totally blew my mind away, and I knew it was important, Duchesne said, because if Clapton was getting his inspiration from him, there had to be something to it, right? He would later learn more about Johnson than he ever expected, but in the meantime, he was enjoying being in the right place at the right time to learn the blues. There in Minneapolis, the godfather of blues was an old blind black piano player. Lazy Bill Lucas was his name. And we used to go over to his house and soak up as much mojo as we could. About the same time, the University of Minnesota started bringing in all these old Delta blues guys to play free concerts. This was in the late 60s and early 70s, and it couldn't have been any better. All the old blues players started showing up. And we were hanging out with them and playing the same stages, and it was just really cool. In the years that followed, Duchesne left the bars for blues festivals and shows throughout the United States, opening for and sharing the stage with such blues greats as Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, B.B. King, Willie Dixon, Booker White, Mississippi Fred McCowell, and Son House. They were some pretty cool cats. And I have a lot of fun talking about them when I'm performing and remembering when I had the chance to spend time with them. And then he met Johnny Shines, a slide guitar player from Memphis, Tennessee, and contemporary of Johnson who had toured with him for 3 years during the mid-1930s. Shines had a successful blues career over the next three decades, but by the early 1980s was living in Alabama, and the obscurity musicians sometimes fall into when they stop performing. Until Duchesne coaxed him out of retirement. I had been knocking around Alabama for several years, playing all over the place, when I found out he lived in Tuscaloosa, Duchesne says. So in 1988, I went over to his house. We spent from that time until 1992, when Johnny died, doing a couple of hundred shows together, recording a couple of albums, running the roads, hanging out with all the blues guys, doing all kinds of cool stuff. It was a real experience. He was a cool little guy, and he's the reason I can talk about Robert Johnson. Duchaine and Shines were booked to perform at a blues festival in Switzerland the autumn after Shines' death. I had to call the producer and tell him Johnny had passed away. I ended up playing the show as a solo, and that opened doors for me in Europe, where I've been playing a lot since. These days, Duchaine, now a resident of Fort Gaines, Georgia, performs more than 150 shows a year in Europe. Just him and his 1934 National Steel guitar. In 1970, I saw Son House playing a National Steel. And then I got to open a couple of shows for Booker White, and he played a Steel. I got to play his for a little bit backstage, which was really amazing. I thought if these guys played one, I better get one. It happened in 1977. A friend of mine had taken one in on trade, and I went over to his house for a party one night, Duchaine explains. I found it in his closet, and I sat in his room and played it all night long. When he came in to see why I wasn't out with the party, I told him he needed to sell it to me with the promise that I'd play it all over the world. And I told him if he didn't sell it to me, I was moving in with him until he did. Duchaine named the guitar Lead Bessie and worked 6 months to pay for it. That was 39, 40 years ago, and it's been worth every penny, he says. New Year's Eve, she was 83 years old, and I've had her for almost half her life. On Lead Bessie, he plays a handful of Delta blues songs, a handful of Chicago blues songs, a handful of rhythm and blues songs, a handful of lovey-dovey songs, and a handful of my originals. The generic term for a musician like me is blues man. One guy on stage playing his guitar, Duchaine says. That's what I do.
Today's story was read by Matt Godfrey with original music by Kyle Carpenter and Wilder Adkins. Make sure to subscribe to Good Grit Stories through your listening app of choice. And if you like Good Grit Stories, please leave us a review. It helps more than you know. As always, you can find these stories and many more at goodgritmag.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter and get a subscription to the magazine. And if you use the promo code GRITTY, you'll get 20% off your subscription. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next week for another installment of Good Grit Stories.